The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the closing market report for Wednesday, May 30th, 2007. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. We'll also have crop progress reports from some of the top corn-producing states in the nation. And Drew Lerner will be by at the bottom of the hour with the latest agricultural weather. It's all on the Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Wednesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. July wheat, $5.75, up 19¾. September, $5.11½, up 18½. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 5.10¾, up 19¾. September, 5.24¾, up 19½. December, 5.36, up 19½. July corn, 3.82¼, up 17½. September, 3.84¾, up 17. December, 3.81¼, up 13¾. December 2008. At 398, up 9½. July beans, 8.08¼, up 10¾. August, 8.15¾, up 10½. September, 8.23¼, up 10¾. November, 8.37, up 10¼. July soybean meal, 2.16¾, up 2.40. July soybean oil, 35.56, up 38. At the Merck, August feeders, 110.35, down 120. June live cattle, 90.70, down 30. June lean hogs, 75.27½, up 35 on the day. Joining us now for a look at the futures market and today's action is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hi, Dave. Nice to talk to you.
Lead option July corn busted to the upside through its 20, 40, and 50-day moving averages. It also managed to inverse to the December today. What does it all mean?
Well, one of the things that we talked about at several of our Outlook meetings was that the American farmer was a very aggressive seller from harvest time right through the $3 level, right up to the $4 level, and basically they've been selling very aggressively. As a result of that, the only corn that's basically left in the is the country hedged corn in these country elevators and storage facilities. And as a result of it, in order to get that demand from corn bought, the processors and exporters do have to pay a stronger basis level. So basis is quite strong. That's number one. And number two, we are seeing some problems in the nearby wheat areas of the world. The Ukraine, for example, stopped selling wheat. They also are going through a horrible drought. India is also rebidding for U.S. wheat. The Russians are even being talked about considering purchases of wheat. But the main thing, the corn market does see, 3 million acres of corn that's being stressed in the South Delta and the Southeast. We did have some phone calls from people that said some of the corn is rolling in parts of Illinois that need rain. The big factor here is that wheat I mean, the corn market is acting, you know, with some divergence here. There's a difference between old and new, but the new crop also followed the market fairly aggressively as well.
You mentioned the wheat. In fact, to the upside, that was the leader for the day. And in all the in addition to all the fundamental news you gave, we also have news out of China of possible floods, lots of flooding.
And also considering buying some wheat in the world market. And, of course, the wheat crop here in the Midwest seems to be short. We do look, you know, as a general, the breadbasket of the Ukraine, Russia is also under some major problems. So we all have to be on the edge here about the wheat, and we did see wheat act fairly well. The other one that we're also looking at is that some of the 588 height lines indicated that late on the weather models we'd see some very warm temperatures in the Mid-South and, you know, in the Midwest. And as a result of that, anything, you know, of 90, 95-degree temperatures would put stress on the crop, including wheat.
And wheat had a tremendous technical performance today. It moved, if you look at a down line through the April and May highs, it just busted completely through that well into the $5 range. And does this mean that that April 26, 530 is now in play again, counter-seasonal to the high?
Yeah, and wheat usually has some downside deal as we go into the early harvest time frame too. You know, one thing that we have to say is that from a technical point of view, it's very strong, and we're starting to see some very good fundamental issues starting to come into the play of the marketplace. And as a result, you know, wheat, it was not only a strong performance in all the pits, corn, soybeans, and wheat, but, you know, wheat acted well as in Kansas City and Minneapolis, too.
Given all the rallying that we saw in corn and wheat, even though soybeans was a double-digit gainer today, bulls might have been a little bit disappointed.
Well, you know, in a way, that's possible. But the one thing we have to talk about is we did see profit-taking in Malaysia and the soybean or the stock market in China. And by the way, we're basically going to close pretty close to some new highs here in the U.S. stock market and S&P, which is good news. And I'd rather see strong stock market for a strong commodity market any day of the week. I think the soybean market is looking at a couple of things. There might be adequate supplies of beans now, but we do need to expand the soybean acreage dramatically next year. And whether that is done in South America or a price push here in the U.S., it has to come from somewhere. And at the same time, we have to grow corn acres somewhere in that 3 to 5 million acres next year. And we also are going to possibly shrink wheat. So wheat is all these different commodity markets are going to have a acreage push on demand just by the mere supply idea that we do have to bid up for acres. And that's going to be one of the interesting carrot on the stick type of equations. And beans probably have the biggest area of we need more acres, therefore the price has to rally.
Seems like the 2007 crop year may be one where we begin to rewrite the rule book to some degree about how to trade commodities and how to think about commodities, given the high volatility that we've seen already. In your mindset, what kind of things have changed in the way that you think about the market?
Yeah. Well, every day I get up, and the first thing you think of, course, is energy. And that's changed the South American farming operation and the U.S. farming operation dramatically. And the whole world has basically caught on to this idea of turning renewable grains into ethanol and productive sources from the sugar cane to the cornfields. that's the other thing. The second thing is the basically improvement in the world economy, and that goes to China and India, where the very large populations of the world are. So it's a case where we haven't really seen this concept of prices bidding for acreage like we used to, and that's the other dynamic area that we're seeing. And, of course, as a result of that, we're seeing prosperity come to the, you know, the Midwest, and we haven't seen this kind of opportunities and growth, you know, basically since the great grain robberies of the Russian grain sales in the 70s and the time frame. So this has brought about a lot of new things, and all I can say is, you know, you have to be optimistic about the Midwest, and energy and farming are two big parts of that equation.
I guess if you're a hedger, you're also looking to see what kind of new and exciting prices you might be able to get for your commodities. And are you of a mindset that when it's all said and done, Paul, that we are going to see prices over $5 in the corn and over $9 in the beets?
You know, a little of that, of course, depends on the weather, but I think that could even take a year or so down the line. But I do sense, Dave, that the way people market their grain, that's going to change. The way they store their grain, the way the farmers will probably build some storage complex that rivals some of the country elevators in the Midwest. You know, so we're going to see the complete change in agronomics, so to speak, the way the farming's done, the way the land's owned and operated, and, you know, it is going to be a tremendous revolution, and my evolution, too, of how things are done in agriculture. And I think that we're starting to see certain things tell us right now. Just, for example, the big acreage expansion in corn, I would have bet at least $100 that we wouldn't have seen that kind of acreage, and we saw it grow in areas like the Dakotas and the South like we've never seen before. So the changing of growing of corn in parts of the U.S., I don't think they'll get away with it, and I think that's where some of that $5 levels that you're talking about could come to, in case there would be a major crop problem.
Thank you, Paul.
Have a nice day.
You too. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Looking at Mike Sola's two-state forecast tonight, he says in central and southern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and a few thunderstorms, most numerous in western Illinois. Lows ranging from 61 in the south to near 70 along the Lake Michigan shoreline. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with widely scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs ranging from 75 in northwestern Illinois to 90 in northeastern Indiana. Tomorrow, wind speeds will peak at 5 to 30 miles an hour. Strongest winds will be in the south. Minimum relative humidity levels during the afternoon, ranging from 35% in eastern Indiana to 70% in northwestern Illinois.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
After yesterday's closing bell, USDA reported corn seedings 97% complete. Soybean seedings are 80% completed. Corn was rated 78% good to excellent, unchanged from last week. The trade was looking for 75% good to excellent. Corn emergence was 85%, up 18% from last week and 10% above the five-year average. Soybean emergence was 48% versus 21% complete last week and the five-year average of 35%. Spring wheat was rated 79% good to excellent, down 2 percentage points from last week. Winter wheat was rated 57% good to excellent, also down 2 percentage points from a week ago.
This is Joe Prisaki, Iowa State Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Iowa Field Office with the weekly crop and weather report for the week ending May 27, 2007. More rain stopped field work during the middle of the week. Some areas welcomed the rain, while others were hoping to finish drying out. The new moisture helped soften hard soil and aided the emergence of crops planted in wet soil, but it also caused flooding of some replanted fields. The statewide average precipitation was 1.71 inches, while normal for the week is 1.14 inches. Temperature for the week as a whole averaged near normal in four northwest Iowa, 6 degrees above normal in the extreme southeast eastern part of the state. Statewide average temperature was 2.2 degrees above normal. Crops weakened by cold temperatures in April are fighting weeds, while wind and moisture has limited the application of herbicide. Topsoil moisture rated 6% very short or short, 72% adequate, and 22% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 2% very short or short, 74% adequate, and 24% surplus. Corn planting at 98% is equal to the five-year average and only 3 days behind last year's 99%. 86% of the corn is emerged, 1 day behind last year's 89%, but 1 day ahead of the five-year average of 85%. Corn condition across Iowa is 3% very poor or poor, 17% fair, and 80% good or excellent. Soybeans planted are at 87%, with 47% emerged. Planting is 2 days behind last year's 91%, but 2 days ahead of the five-year average of 84%. Soybean emergence is 3 percentage points behind last year, but 5 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. This is Joe Prusanku with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Des Moines, Iowa, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 27, 2007.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 27th. Another week of dry conditions allowed farmers to make significant progress toward finishing spring planting activities. Statewide, average temperatures were above normal, while precipitation was slightly below normal, allowing 5.6 days suitable for field work during the 7-day period ending on Sunday. With just over an inch of rainfall blanketing the drier northern half of the state, topsoil moisture is now being reported as short to mostly adequate in all 9 crop reporting districts. This is a rare event considering how spotty precipitation can be this time of year. Statewide, topsoil moisture averaged 2% very short, 26% short, 70% adequate, and 2% surplus. Corn planting progressed to 100%, which compares to 99% 1 year ago and 93% for the five-year average. 96% of the corn fields have emerged, compared to 91% 1 year ago and 83% for the five-year average. Corn height averaged 9 inches, compared to 7 inches last year and 6 inches for the five-year average. Overall, the state's corn crop was rated in mostly good to excellent condition. Soybean planting advanced to 91% complete, compared to 73% 1 year ago and 66% for the five-year average. 66% of the soybean fields have emerged, compared to 35% 1 year ago and 39% for the five-year average. The soft red winter wheat crop has made rapid progress towards maturity, with 64% of the wheat heads filled. This compares with 71% filled last year and 55% normally. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending May 27, 2007. Scattered rain showers across the state boosted topsoil moisture supplies this past week, with condition ratings improving in small grains and pastures due to the rain. However, winds and wet field conditions delayed post-emergent spraying progress in many locations. The average temperature for the week was 58.1 degrees, 1.2 degrees below normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 5% very short, 19% short, 70% adequate, and 6% surplus. As of Sunday, May 27th, an estimated 95% of the corn had emerged, compared to the five-year average of 71%. The corn height was estimated at 4 inches compared to 1 inch for the average. Soybean plantings were 94% complete, with 62% emerged, compared to the average of 76% planted and 24% emerged. Spring wheat was 98% emerged, with 4% jointing, compared to the average of 77% emerged and 3% jointing. 82% of the field corn was rated in good or excellent condition. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending May 27, 2007. I'm Doug Hartwig with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending May 27th. Much-needed rain arrived later in the week and should help to germinate seeds that remained in the dry ground and also help corn seedlings. Despite the heavy rains in some areas, many regions of the state remain very dry, with some reporting no rain for close to over a month. With good conditions early in the week for field work, the race to finish planting corn is almost over. Topsoil moisture was rated 7% very short, 37% short, 54% adequate, and 2% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 3% very short, 24% short, 71% adequate, and 2% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0 to 2.01 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 91 to a low of 42 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 6.2 days were rated as suitable for field work. 99% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, ahead of last year's 87% planted at this time, and also ahead of the five-year average of 81%. For corn emerged, 87% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 69% last year and 65% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans for the week also made good progress early in the week and remained ahead of the average pace, with 89% of the intended soybean acreage planted, compared to 55% for last year and 58% for the five-year average. 56% of the planted soybean acreage was emerged, compared with 28% last year at this time and 37% for the five-year average. 85% of the winter wheat acreage is headed, compared to 91% last year and 87% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition is rated at 38% good to excellent, compared to 77% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon, Kay.
Well, Dave, good afternoon to you, too.
I bet basis is improving.
Yeah, I'd say probably close to 15 cents here in the last 10 days, and it will probably bring a little bit out. The farmer seems to be a little bit more willing to sell beans at these levels. I think they're getting a little nervous about the bean market, but corn, you know, we'll buy some when we see the moves that we saw today. We'll buy some, but you know, I'm just convinced that there's not nearly as much corn out there as there was a year ago. So it's going to be kind of scattered out as they sell this when the market goes up.
So you don't believe on the board there's a move maybe in the soybeans above 850?
You know, I've been kind of a bear all along in beans, which proved me wrong, naturally, because I just feel like when you look at fundamentals, beans have been way overpriced for a long time anyway. But they're basically going out to next year and looking at a possible shortage of acreage because of the demand. So, you know, really anything can happen, and if we have a weather market, I suppose they could. But we've just been reluctant to get that $8 magic number on cash beans. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But the farmers just seem to be a little bit more interested in pricing beans than they are corn at this particular stage of the game.
How does the corn look in your neck of the woods?
I got to say things look good, Dave. We got anywhere from a half an inch to an inch and a half in the rain last week. Some areas did get missed, and they're going to need some moisture. But, you know, we got pretty good chances, I think, you know, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, and maybe even into Sunday. And then they're talking maybe dry again next week. But for right now, I'll have to say we've got beautiful stands. Things look real well. Corn is all in the ground, and I'd say we've only got 10 to 15% of the beans yet to go.
And your prices today?
Cash corn, $3.78. Beans are $7.76, and wheat is $4.46.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank you, Dave.
Kay Whitlock at Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Your AM 580 newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Danville Mayor Scott Eisenhower admits the chances of placing a riverboat casino in the city to raise revenue are slim, but he says no lawmaker has written off the idea. The mayor has spent a few days lobbying legislators in Springfield. He says Danville has become a prominent location for a casino because of the revenues it would bring in from Indiana and because it wouldn't take away from existing boat licenses. Danville City Council will discuss the issue in a special meeting tomorrow night. A Danville native has died while serving in Iraq. The Defense Department says 21-year-old Army Specialist Francis Trussell Jr. died Saturday following an explosion in Tahrir. Trussell lived with his wife and two children in Lincoln. His aunt, Janice Trussell, says he was a giving man who would give the shirt off his back. State lawmakers are advancing another try at freezing electric rates. A House panel today approved 5-4 along partisan lines, a sweeping plan to roll back rates to 2006 levels, freeze them for a year, and charge energy producers a tax to pay for the price reductions. The plan also would fire Illinois Commerce Commission members who approve the higher rates and create a new Illinois Power Authority to oversee power buying and eventually power production. A spokesman for Ameren Corporation says its divisions haven't improperly promoted its all-electric discount program. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan is suing Ameren IP and Ameren CIPS, accusing them of misleading customers by advertising the discount program while trying to eliminate it. Ameren spokesman Lee Morris says the utility takes such allegations very seriously, but he says his company expects to prevail in the lawsuit. He says the rates in effect are lawful and have been approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission. And Willard Airport will include service to Las Vegas later this summer. Airport Director Gene Barton says the two weekly flights in 150-seat planes will not only add a leisure destination, but bring in additional business to other parts of the airport. A consultant study on flight passengers in the area prompted Allegiant Air to add the flights to Nevada. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Eastern Corn Belt is in need of rain, much more so than the Western Corn Belt. There's been a lot of debate in the last few days about a system that is expected to move across later this week and whether or not it will peter out before it reaches the east. What is the latest?
Well, I do believe that we will see the system come across the region. I think most of the Midwest will get rain from this system at one time or another, but the amounts of rain will definitely be below average still for this time of the year in the majority of the region. Now, there'll be a few areas maybe in northwestern Illinois and parts of northern Indiana and Michigan that may see a normal amount of rainfall, but we're not really talking about a very high percentage of crop country getting that kind of precipitation. Most amounts will probably run from 3/10 to 1 inch, and there'll probably be some local amounts getting up around 1.5 inches. And certainly if you're in one of those counties that get the heavier rainfall, it will be a beneficial event and crops will look pretty darn good. But a lot of other counties around you will probably not see that kind of rainfall, and the crop stressed environment that we've seen periodically here in the past week or so in quite a few areas will likely resurface again rather quickly. Now, the next 10 days to 2 weeks don't look too bad. Our temperatures are not going to be excessively warm, with the exception of the next 3 days, where we will see temperatures solidly in the 80s and some more lower 90s. But we'll get a little bit of a break as we go into the weekend and next week, with temperatures becoming a little bit more mild, in quotes, across the region. And with the shower activity expected, it should be at least a little bit of an improving trend. Later in the month of June, we will see the heat come back, and the lack of precipitation will become more of an issue with crop stress on the rise. We will stay focused on the dryness that's in the southeastern part of the country. The drought that's down in Georgia, Alabama, and neighboring areas there is expected to continue to expand to the northwest over time. And the month of July is the time period that I am most concerned with for the eastern Midwest. It looks warmest and driest during that period of time.
Turn your attention down to the Delta. What's there, please?
The Delta is drying out also. It is not critically dry, but we do expect some showers to occur across the region over the next 5 to 7 days. The precipitation should not be great enough to bolster soil moisture in a substantial manner, but it will be enough to at least buy a little bit more time there and prevent crop stress from becoming a real serious event. Now, a little later on in June, more likely in July, again, we'll probably see the Delta firm up a little too much, and crop stress will become an issue there, just like in the eastern Midwest, especially the northern half of the Delta. I think southern areas will probably benefit from some daily shower and thunderstorm activity later this summer. But it does look as though the Delta, the Tennessee River Basin, and the eastern Midwest will be caught up in this drier, biased outlook for the summer.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a good day.
Drew Lerner, Senior Agricultural Meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And that's today's closing market report. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. This is Dave Dickey.